to Piercing the Veil on bbsradio.com with your hosts Jordan and Corey and new guests appearing weekly. During the show, Jordan and Corey will pierce the many veils of illusion to reveal the universal truths and tools for negotiation inherent to success in one's daily life, including but not limited to 1. Multidimensional wordsmithing. 2. Mastering and commanding negotiations. 3. Constructive trust and wealth preservation. And 4. Spirituality. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
Okay, welcome back, listeners. Today is May 1st, 2016. And Corey and I are here with you to talk about free energy, or as it's been termed, free energy. It's really alternative energy. We're going to talk about a few researchers that are very notable in the field and a few practical solutions at the end of the show that you can use on a daily basis as far as restructuring your water with more energy to hydrate you better. Okay. Last week we did a topic of homelessness, mental disease, and sort of tied in some epigenetic factors. For those of you that aren't aware of what epigenetics means, it just means how your genes and your DNA can be affected severely over the course of one or more generations from your surrounding environment. Okay, so that's something you can take a look at. It's loaded up at the archives. Again, that's bbsradio.com/piercingtheveil/archives. You can pull that down to your phone or your device. Corey, how are you doing this week?
I'm excellent. I hear that you're traveling.
I am. Yes. It's funny. You were in New York a couple weeks ago, and I was just in the city a few days ago. Now I'm upstate New York, and we'll be completing my route, doing a couple consulting deals for some close friends, and I will be in New Jersey, and then coming back to Texas. And next week's show will be out of Texas.
Right on. Oh yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, so I'm using a lot of energy and conserving and reevaluating and making things efficient and very smooth running. So that's a big thing about our show today is over unity, or the efficiency, and to such a degree where it surpasses like just a neutral level. Does that make sense? Getting back what you're putting in. Now, there's a lot of people that will say, you can't get something out of nothing, and you're violating the laws of thermodynamics, and yada, yada, yada. There's always that one person that's like, free energy is impossible. You know, you can't get more energy than you put out. Well, if you really look at what they're saying, the precipice or the concept of that law that they're quoting, which is the first law of thermodynamics, conservation of energy, it's the total amount of energy in an isolated system is conserved. They didn't say anything about an open. Yeah, in a closed. Thank you.
In exactly. A closed system.
In a closed
system. Which happens to be 3D reality on planet Earth.
And happens to be every single engineering diagram that you've ever seen for any type of motor, generator, electronics, electric circuit. It's all designed to put half of the energy back and kill the back EMF forces, which should be utilized. Right? Because that back EMF pulse or wave is actually an influx of energy from the vacuum, because the AC generators are disturbing the local vacuum. That's what Tesla was doing. He was doing it on purpose. Right? So that foundational, mainstream science, if you will, or physics argument that this violate all these, machines violate these thermodynamic laws. Well, yes, they would if you're assuming that they operate on a closed system. The problem is, if anybody was smart, like most of these notable energy researchers, including Tesla, especially Tesla, if they're smart, they're using open systems. They've done away with their closed-loop system research and their efforts that kept failing and failing and failing and, getting hot and overloading and exploding and all these different things that come with it. And they just focus solely on replicating the natural processes, like the cloud rain cycle, which is continual. It's perpetual. And it might not be over unity per se. I would say it is because, some of that water gets absorbed and so on and so forth, but it keeps coming. It could be a form of it, but it's an example in nature of what's really happening on a grand scale and all the available energy that's available to keep some sort of system going as long as it's open, right? open and recycling like a torus. So that we've touched on that before, Corey, a little bit about virtual particles and real particles popping in and out of existence back and forth, you know. And Tesla was actually studying those natural processes because he had an epiphany. You know, when he was younger, he had an epiphany with his friend, something about lightning, and it just went off in his brain from there. So people that are able to think not only in terms of open energy systems, but be open-minded themselves so that their consciousness is in fact replicating an open energy system, then their vibration is going to be in alignment to such a degree that all these ideas will come to them. So it's not that they're coming, this guy is better at coming up with inventions. He's just vibrationally open to the realities where those open system inventions are made real. So it's all
right, which is not typically available to the so-called scientific mind.
That's right.
Although Edison apparently was pretty good at playing with other realms. Have you heard his technique for using the unconscious or dreaming to satisfy or assist him in some of his work? It's kind of cool.
Yeah, Edison and a lot of those guys were using these esoteric idea techniques, and you know, Einstein called it a thought experiments, right?
Right.
He just called it thought experiments. That's just a colloquial term or a euphemistic term for I'm doing conscious vibrational magic in my brain and being completely open to any type of possibility without closing it off. And then once I do the experiment in my brain, then I apply it using the rigorous parameters of the scientific method, not using the scientific method, Corey, as dogma, which is what they're doing today.
Right.
And just this closed off, you know, rigid, peer reviewed, nobody can ever get anything past any type of, you know, non-funded thing. All these types of impasses, if you will.
Yeah. I gotta speak on Edison's technique. He used to take a nap. He'd sit down in a chair with wooden balls held in each hand. And he'd meditate on a particular problem or a solution that he's looking for. And just as he would be, passing out on his nap, sitting in the chair, either one or the other of the balls would slip out of his hand, hit the floor, make a noise, and wake him up.
Yep.
And he would use that moment just as he's passing into sleep. That apparently that's where a lot of his ideas kicked in, dream mode and so forth. And then he would, once he was waking up, he would recall what he was thinking of or what was in his field at the time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, those are small little techniques that the evidence shows that the Egyptians were aware of, these types of sleeping or half sleep states and laying on the left side with the left arm extended out above you and the right arm down with the leg, you know, with the legs, you know, opened a little bit like scissors. That actually puts you in the same state without you having to go to sleep or try to fight to remember. So there's just variations of that, and it's extremely important to know that some of these guys either instinctively did it or they were taught.
Right. And Tesla worked out everything in his mind first.
That's right. So. The man was a genius. He's a genius, more so than Einstein. Way more so than Einstein. I feel personally, and you can get mad at me if you want, listeners. I don't care. This is my opinion. I feel Einstein was a quack and a fraud, and he stole his wife's work and hybridized other people's work. And multiple times he debated other people and tried to stand on it, and then he finally conceded to Tesla specifically on a few different points. So I do believe that it's his theories are based on reality, if you could call it that, based on real mathematics and figuring, but it's limiting to a certain degree. The theory of relativity is limited to closed systems and closed loop understanding. So Tesla was actually trying to distinguish for people that the way you go about obtaining electricity is going to have a different result, you know, according to whether that electrical polarity is hot, being dangerous, you know, like a hot line, or cold, running super, super fast and super cold and not dangerous at all, where you can touch it. Mm. You understand? Mm. Like plasma, you can touch plasma. Have you ever seen one of those little balls at the museums?
Yeah.
You can put your fingers on it and it doesn't shock you. If that was standard AC, or hot AC, if you will, or the polarity of electricity, which is hot, just like a magnet.
Or DC.
Yeah, you'd be done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now what Tesla was trying to say when he first discovered AC was that there's two polarities. And it, as the voltage increases to a certain degree, then it becomes cold. So he was working in the million and the couple million volt ranges and was able to stand and sit and regularly work and do his work while that ball was on in his room.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But mm-hmm. then there was this incident where Edison, supposedly with other people backing him or pressuring him, decided to do a public demonstration where they shocked a puppy with hot AC. So the amperage was high enough to kill the puppy. It wasn't that it was AC that killed it, right? Mm-hmm. The amps, the voltage was too low and the amps were too high. And Tesla even said that afterwards.
Mm.
But it shocked everybody into staying with DC for a long time and using DC.
Mm. Which is, from my understanding, more dangerous than AC.
Oh, I've been hit with DC and high voltage DC. And it's not fun at all. No.
And both are in use, actually.
Yeah, both are.
One wasn't excluded over the other. DC is typically for heavier operations with heavier loads, from what I understand.
Yeah, so with the alternating current, there's a couple different ways to obtain the cold electricity or the cold factor. And one is high voltage, low amps, and a modulation of the frequency, and some other things. Now, with DC, you can also obtain free energy, what they would call alternative energy, I think is a better term. Alternative energy results in that the very fast pulses of DC, high fast pulses of DC, high sharp positive impulse peaks, if you will. I don't know the exact terminology, but my research and other people's research shows that those across a nonlinear medium will absolutely suck in a host of energy from the surrounding vacuum, and it just continues pouring in and pouring in and pouring in and pouring in. There's a number of people, Corey, that touch on this. Most notably would be a very, very highly respected researcher and former retired Army colonel. His name's Thomas Bearden. And one of his colleagues, his name is John Bedini. He's actually an independent researcher as well. And these two guys, just a YouTube search of them would provide hours and hours of research, and they fully explain everything. They go and counteract all the other mainstream science arguments of, you know, this violates thermodynamics and so on and so forth, right? And then they go a little bit further and explain what's really happening in the virtual realm and how time space has an extra component or an extra plane or field that needs to be factored in. There's a higher order of physics that are trickling down into the physical realm to a lower order of physics, just like a torus, and then it keeps going back and forth. Does that make sense?
Mm, mm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. It's and also you see a quantum physics, right? You're seeing the mathematics and the physics evolve from, I guess, the Einsteinian model.
And Maxwell equations.
Yeah, and also...
which are incomplete.
Right. And also, too, you kind of, from my understanding, you know, quantum physics is moving into phenomena that previously could only really be explained in terms of esoteric language or magic, if you will. So those two worlds are kind of... from what I can, from my point of view, is they're starting to speak the same language.
Indistinguishable.
Right, using different terminology or different approaches. So
That's right. And you know, this esoteric knowledge is guarded by a few people. The advanced scientific discoveries and papers are all discredited or they're put out of business, you know, when they try to start a stock company or any of these types of things that inventors are doing to get the word out are discredited on the most, on the whole. Even to the point where they, if they successfully formed a company and had an idea that threatened the oil industry, then those guys would make an offer. They would make them an offer through a shell company, Corey, and then they would buy up the invention with the promise of spreading it far and wide, and then you never heard anything from them again.
Right. Seems like a lot of alternative. I have heard that the vast majority of alternative energy patents are owned by mainstream energy corporations anyway. And interesting.
Look at the Chevy Bolt fiasco. Remember that in California?
Right. And you mentioned oil energy companies in particular.
Well, I bring that up, Corey, because, and that ties into the Volt incident. The Chevy Volt was something that was providing people an easy, energy efficient, non-polluting way to travel around, sort of like a beta test, and many people got it. And it got so popular, and people started trying to order it so much that it threatened them, and they actually ordered a recall. They literally ordered people to turn in their cars, and then instead of fixing them or doing something like that, they literally crushed them all. They cube crushed them, every single one.
Wow.
Maybe a couple evaded that.
Yeah, I never heard that.
It totally cube crushed it and then wiped out the engineering plans. You know, they're not available anymore. And then you got Stanley Myers with his water car being poisoned in a restaurant right before he was going to make it easily available to convert any type of gas engine, so on and so forth.
So you could probably look on the web and find a list of alternative energy inventors, practitioners, and so forth. And I would venture to guess that a lot of them had strange things happen to them.
Well, not only that, but you know, going back to Tesla, he was actually funded by J.P. Morgan, and J.P. Morgan was largely responsible once finding out that Tesla's technology couldn't be monetized. He was largely responsible for ruining that man's reputation and his life.
Right. He owned all the copper.
Yep, and the papers.
So all the copper lines that had been in process. Being installed across the country for telegraph.
And for DC.
And for DC and so forth.
It's a bit obsolete.
So the profit motive in this case trumped. And there's also, I think the lesson in a lot of that is you're moving into alternative economies. Or private side versus public, right? You're interfering in commerce. If you try to, you know, if you patent stuff, you try to go for commercial licensing, and you know, if you're operating through the commercial structure as it exists, the public commercial structure, then you could be impeding commerce in certain ways. Or it could be perceived of that you are impeding commerce in certain ways, and that
it would totally shut everything down. Yeah. So that's why it's such a threat. And you know, it's something that's so basic. You know, the scientists, to my knowledge, you know, they have yet to fully explain the free spinning electron.
Like, they know how it spins, they know what it does, they know how it interacts, but where is this coming from? Where's the electron spin coming from? Unless it's an open system, and nature is an open system. So the bottom line is, not only does open source technology and open source consciousness threaten them, but any open system that can bring energetic abundance threatens them as well. When I say them, again, I'm referring to oil cartels, pharmaceutical cartels, anything that alternative or abundant energy and healing technologies could fix or make obsolete are going to fight to protect their multi-trillion dollar industries. Okay. That just is what it is. So, and let's just talk about commingling of forces, right? Like sonoluminescence, sound and light, and electricity and heat, and thermosinks, and converting heat to electricity back and forth. They can't even explain that properly. Again, they try to apply the laws of thermodynamics and rough out a basic framework for how things work, but they're not addressing the higher order physics. So all of that we've talked about to say that there are a number of devices that are working that you can look up and actually make contact with these people if you try hard enough and go find out for yourself. All right. So go find out for yourself if this is just some BS perpetual energy machine that violates the, you know, some hoax or whatever. I've actually talked to a couple of these guys and seen their devices. I know for a fact this stuff works. Mm. Not anybody I've mentioned on the show, unfortunately. I would love to talk to them. But I've seen plenty of videos. I've seen plenty of analysis from, you know, fellow junior physicists and researchers and so on and so forth that confirm that what they're saying is absolutely correct. That it's open system is the way to go to continuously bring in energy, to access energies that are not harmful or pollutive or, you know, counterproductive, and that do not require constant production from consumption. They just produce endlessly. So when we get back, we'll talk about a few of these guys specifically and what their devices were and how they got them to work, what the basic principles were. At the end of the show, then we'll come back and talk a little bit about some basic practical solutions for personal health using magnetics or electromagnetics and structuring your water. Okay. So we're going to go to commercial and we'll be back. We'll see you shortly.
Having trouble with harassing collection agencies? Creditors breathing down your neck? Feeling like you're drowning in debt? The Guild of Tactical Wordsmiths is here to help you now. GTAC is an ecclesiastical guild association of aggressive debt assassins who can eliminate your debts, free negative marks from your credit report, and get you compensated for unfair collection practices or emotional damages. They have a proven track record of success and sustainable results, which will have creditors and debt collectors shaking in their boots. This is not your typical credit repair or verification. GTAC uses proven techniques and negotiation tactics to completely eliminate your debt or conflict, remove negative marks from your credit reports, and in most cases, GTAC will retrieve compensation for you. Call for your free 15-minute consultation today at 214-290-3053.
Hey everyone, welcome back. If you're just joining us, this week we're talking about alternative energy devices, a lot of fallacies in the arguments of mainstream scientists who say that these types of devices violate the laws of thermodynamics, which is completely incorrect. It's misapplied to closed-loop systems, and these are open-loop systems. Open source systems as well. So we spoke a little bit about Thomas Bearden, who is a retired Army colonel and researcher. He gets really deep into the higher order of physics, how the virtual particles come into existence, where they go, how that relates to the time-space quantum field, so on and so forth. Another guy is John Bedini, who we spoke about briefly, who is a colleague of Bearden to my understanding, and again, again an independent researcher. And Bedini actually gets more into the Tesla side of things, and he's looking at using he's looking at using magnetics and high voltage, high pulsed DC voltage as opposed to AC. So he's applying, to my understanding, in some of his devices, Tesla's principles, but in small DC circuits, solid state circuits, trying to reduce the amount of moving parts. And Thomas Bearden did so as well. I think they collaborated on a project called the Magnetic Energy Generator, the MEG, of which there are plenty of diagrams available online if anybody wants to follow that up and research it. And then, you know, Corey, if you want to get back into the esoteric side and the consciousness side, we can talk about Lester T. Hendershot and the Hendershot device, which was reported to be somewhat conscious or sentient, if you will, and would only work consistently with certain people, and namely, you know, Hendershot himself. And even his son, after he passed, even his son had difficulty getting it to work consistently. He could still get it to work, but not very often.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So the MEG, to my understanding, works by using a very small input of electricity. And so like a piezoelectric lighter sparker, like a digital spark, that little very high voltage crystal that's it's being struck and producing that high voltage thing. You can plug that into the system sort of as like a spark of outside energy, and it starts and it induces a current into some small pickup coils, and then those coils induce a current into these other coils that are positioned at 90 degrees. And then that starts a thing, a back and forth thing that just goes bop, 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 right? And then you have another small coil that picks up a small portion of that and shunts it through some sort of circuitry, like a transistor or something like that, and allows it to resupply as an input. And so once it gets going, it's just constantly running itself. And the beautiful thing is it's completely solid state. There's no moving parts whatsoever. And while this is very small, it can be upgraded and produce lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of energy. And it might not be ideal for producing megawatts, but it is something that you can use a Tesla amplifier or amplification techniques that were really fine-tuned by Tesla. You can use these types of things to amplify what's already coming out for free. And then if you've got multiple systems running in tandem, you understand? Mm. Well, then you're going to have enough power to, you know, power an entire village or a country or whatever you need. So there are a few conscious elements. You got to be extremely conscious with how are you building the parts? What are you building it for? What are you really trying to attempt when you're doing all these different research experiments with the circuitry and the voltage and the measuring this and measuring that? You must be extremely conscious, not just of why this is working or why you need to do it, but exactly what do you intend the result to be?
You know, something's coming up to me in terms of research now. I don't know much about the dark web, but I would imagine that if one were be able to access it, one would probably be able to find a lot more of this research, and actually people who might even be offering products.
Well,
on the dark web as opposed to the regular web.
You could find that. I would be extremely careful and only use a computer that's, you know, if one were to choose to do that, you would probably want to use a computer that's a throwaway, basically.
Right.
There's a lot of nasty stuff on the dark web. My firm belief is that a lot of that is just the original military structure of the web. You understand? It's nothing special. It's not some mysterious, it's used by criminals. Yes, it's used by people that don't want to be found. But it's run, created, and designed by the military-industrial complex and the intelligence agencies. Right. That's all it is. That's what the internet started as. It's a way for internal defense agencies to communicate back and forth. And scientists as well. Right? They say, oh, it was a blah, blah, blah. And yeah, that's great. That's an aspect of it. But it was being used militarily for a long time before that. So again, you know, they could find it there, but you can also find it all over YouTube. Like it's that prevalent. It's cracked through the dark web for so many years. And there's been so many people that have been willing to share. There's one guy that's recreating Stanley Meyer's work. His name's Edgar Mitchell, and think of what you will of him, based on, you know, some smear campaigns that have been done towards him. But if you listen to what he's saying and what he's doing, it makes a lot of sense. Nobody seems to be able to produce enough hydrogen without compressing it, right, to run a car on demand. Now, they can boost it and they can give it more efficiency, and you'll find those all over the web, HHO boosters, a lot of people claiming to run their car on water. That's not completely true. You can't do it 100% like that unless you have some specific conditions and circumstances. Now, what Edgar is saying is that he believes Stanley Meyer electroplated his anode and cathode, and he made them electrets. He made them an electret. Not only did he coat them and dip them in something, but then he magnetized them in such a way so they're constantly putting out an electrical field, a positive and a negative polarity. And then he was using a voltage intensifier circuit, which is some sort of device to modulate the voltage. Again, we come back to Tesla talking about modulating high voltages. And then he set that transformer inside a water reservoir. So not only was he amplifying and modulating, but then he was affecting the water molecules and pre-energizing a nuclear state or an energized low energy nuclear reaction in the water itself and prepping it. It's sort of like preheating your water tank, like a preheater. So not only was he electroplating and using electrodes on his cathode and anode to produce, but he was also then staging, if you will, or preheating, and then running it through. And by doing that, restricting the computer chip on the car, he was able to get a flow that was sufficient to run it on water. And then he looped his exhaust, which was water vapor.
Mm-hmm.
He looped it in a clear tube over the top of his car, and when the photon and tachyon energy from the sunlight hit it, it only took 5 seconds or less as it was running over the top. It would re-energize the molecular state of the water back to where it was as it started.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he could start over again and keep getting energy and energy and energy and energy. Does that make sense?
Right.
By just merely disassociating water.
Which is pretty old technology.
Yeah, and so a lot of these HHO guys are having a lot of trouble because it's a closed-loop system. They're having to put in all this amperage and this juice and this voltage to try to get out a huge HHO or gas production, and it's just not working.
Yeah, I don't. They don't have the whatever frequency modulating he was doing. I think they're missing that.
Yes. Yeah, the frequency modulation and the three-stage amplification. He upped his anode and cathode, right? He upped his water stage, and then he ups his voltage and his modulation of it in such a way that it's just a power, you know, a power punch. Mm. And it's enough to run his vehicle. And then when he modified his technology in such a way so as to be readily mass manufactured and was getting ready to start his company, he was poisoned at a restaurant by who knows who and ran out clutching himself saying, "They poisoned me," and fell on the ground.
And yeah. His
brother and business partner.
Yeah, he also made that film of a very pretty big self-promoting film, and he used such terminology as, you know, the end of the oil industry and so on and so forth. So, unfortunately, you know, you have these brilliant folks who are doing great work, and unfortunately, they run into a lot of adversity. However, there's lessons in that. Not only the scientific work or the practical work that these individuals did, but how to go about creating, marketing, and your systems.
Open source. Do you remember Frank Bacon? We had him on the show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
He's 100% right when he says open source is the only way to go. Just, you can take the credit for it, guy. Whoever you are out there hiding your free energy system, you can take the credit for it, Bubba. Just open source that shit, please. Give it to everybody. Let them do it. There's a lot of people that are doing it. MT Keshi from Iran with his plasma physics.
Yeah, Keshi.
You've got J.L. Nodin from France, who's an extremely brilliant person trying to replicate all of Bedini and Bearden's work in a practical closed experiment fashion for everybody, for the general masses, right, using easily obtainable materials. Mm. You've got all these people doing these things.
Mm.
And myself, honestly, Corey, I'm a practical person. And while the information is out there, we only have an hour for each show. The information is out there that we've given on these names so people can do deeper research.
Mm.
But I want to focus on something that's practical for me, and I believe for a lot of other people, especially in radioactive areas, which is HHO, or hydroxy gas, or hydrogen, hydrogen, oxygen. Or, you know, you have the hydroxy, which is HH and OO. And there's all these different variations. But what it can do is not only provide energy in the form of electricity when you burn it, but you can also burn it through a metal matrix and some sort of torch matrix, and you can burn up radioactive waste. You can literally burn this stuff into an inert state, inert being INERT, which means it's completely non-reactive, especially with biological material. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So an example would be Teflon or silicone or so on and so forth. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I really want to get into because it's easily obtainable. It's easy to make, I should say. You got to be extremely careful not to blow yourself up. But if you follow the right protocols and you don't put it under pressure, then you have a perfect, wonderfully workable gas that you can literally weld tungsten steel at 14,000 degrees, it will weld tungsten steel, but it's 130 degrees Celsius to the touch. It's just unbelievable. You can literally put it on your hand and the torch won't burn you, but then you can weld and weld plastic and wood together. You can weld metal together that normally has a higher temp and a lower temp, whereas in welding, you know, that's a big thing. You got to have metals that are either thin enough or similar in thickness that they'll heat up properly at the same time, or you need to have a hot enough torch to cover it. Does it make sense? So I really believe that's the new way to go about it. It's just water, you know, and the solid state, the Thomas Bearden and Bedini things with the solid state magnetic energy generator. If you combine those two things, it's just unstoppable. It solves everybody's problems. Not only radiation, you can burn trash with this, Corey. Think of all the landfills that are out there just polluting, creating all this noxious gases and everything for the earth. You can literally burn up trash into nothing.
Or into their basic elements.
Basic elements, inert basic elements. That's why it's so important. And there's a lot of people out there that are working with the HHO on a small scale garage level, myself included. So, I mean, that's one thing. Now, if you want to get really deep, and you can talk about light and sound healing technologies, which have been around for ages, for hundreds of thousands of years, if you want to go look at the Vedic texts, the Rig Vedas, and so on and so forth, so the Egyptian hieroglyphs. Oh, here we go, listeners. Something that just came to mind. A 400-million-year-old hammer was found in Texas, of all places, and carbon dated to 400 million years old. Now, might make you think a little bit.
Who would be using a hammer 400 million years ago? A dinosaur?
Yeah, it looks just like a stone, like a an anvil hammer, like something you would use to metalwork. 400 million years old, encased in a fossil.
Right. So,
again, high technology, including low technology, has been around for a long, long, long time, and sound and light is a big part of that. And so you've got things like sonoluminescence, where you shoot a sound wave so sharply through water that it creates light. It actually creates lightning inside of this water. It's also a process called cavitation, where you spin a rotor with holes in it and allow water to pass through it. It will cavitate and heat the water so fast, it's more efficient than trying to heat it to steam using traditional methods. But the water, it produces lots of sound and light as a result. That's what's happening to propellers. You know, propeller damage on boats and things like that, as they're spinning, is cavitation damage.
So being able to utilize naturally occurring phenomena in a way that provides free or abundant energy is really what alternative energy is about when you look at it, or when you look at the founding fathers who were doing it right and where they were getting their ideas. And that would be Tesla, that would be guys like Royal Raymond Rife, who was using radio and sound frequencies tuned specifically to certain diseases. He would literally measure the frequency or the vibration of, you know, E. coli or something like that, and then hit it with a frequency under the microscope and keep changing it until he matched it. And sometimes he would find that it would be off a little bit. The standing frequency of the bacteria or virus was not necessarily the frequency required to disassociate it or break it up, because it was interacting with the local field. So there was all these quantum fluctuations that basically made it a variant. Either it was a higher vibration than what it should be standing, or it was a lower vibration. So he would just find and record these frequencies. Sometimes he would have to go a little bit over what the standing vibration of the bacteria was, and sometimes he would go a little bit lower. And then he would go back and forth very slowly, making slow little tiny sweeps until the whole thing would just blow up under the microscope. It would just blow apart and blow itself up. And then he would record that.
Amazing medical potential.
That's right.
So it's just, it's boundless. It really is. All the information is out there for you, not only on the dark web, but on the surface web as well, the internet. You could find it all over YouTube. Even things like crystal or alternative batteries, which are made from borax and sea salt and different types of household materials, which are not dangerously reactive. You're not making bombs or anything like that. You're not going to get put on a fucking watch list for getting these materials, you know. And you can do this in a large-scale fashion and drop these in the Earth if you have a plot of land. And now you've got crystal batteries that are also Earth batteries. You can take rolls of aluminum foil and PVC pipe and separate them in a dielectric fashion and then wet them and bury them in the earth if you're careful, because that shit can kill you. That's how strong of a capacitor that is. And you can store lightning if you have a battery bank somewhere hooked up to it.
Now, that would be interesting.
When I follow through with this land, we're looking at a couple options. I'm planning on doing this all myself. I'm moving into the radio show, moving out of consulting, and moving into alternative energy researching as a priority in my life, and we'll continue to do all sorts of topics, including wordsmithing. But this is a big thing, Corey, that I just have to get my hands on for myself. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to commercial, and when we get back, we'll wrap it up. We'll wrap the show up with a few practical solutions you can do now with your personal health. So not only can these alternative energies and these methods of thinking, can they be used for energy and standard electricity purposes and so on and so forth, they can also provide very unique solutions for your health, your personal health. Okay, so we'll talk a little bit about that, about Bob Beck and his blood electrifier device and structured water when we come back.
Having trouble with harassing collection agencies, creditors breathing down your neck, feeling like you're drowning in debts? The Guild of Tactical Wordsmiths is here to help you now. GTAC is an ecclesiastical guild association of aggressive debt assassins who can eliminate your debts, free negative marks from your credit report, and get you compensated for unfair collection practices or emotional damages. They have a proven track record of success and sustainable results, which will have creditors and debt collectors shaking in their boots. This is not your typical credit repair or verification. GTAC uses proven techniques and negotiation tactics to completely eliminate your debt or conflict, remove negative marks from your credit reports, and in most cases, GTAC will retrieve compensation for you. Call for your free 15-minute consultation today at 214-290-3053.
Okay, welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Piercing the Veil. If you're just joining us, we're talking about free energy, or what's been mistermed free energy. We will call it alternative energy. And those are things like magnetic energy, solid-state generators, hydrogen technology. You also have a lot of resonance technology that's being used, high-voltage AC, pulsed electricity through water, so on and so forth. We did touch a little bit on Tesla, and I wanted to come back and talk about personal health before the end of the show, but I do want to bring this back to Tesla real quick. Most people don't realize that a lot of his work was not published. He was working with some very highly classified projects, to my knowledge, some of which included a death ray and a shield that could protect from the death ray, all sorts of different deployable machines and vehicles that didn't run on gasoline at all, and so on and so forth. And I think that he got a little jaded throughout that and was tired of his stuff being used for war. So he started moving into some protective scalar technologies. That's a big thing that the alternative energy movement needs to focus on, is scalar. What is a scalar? Well, it's a potentiality that moves outward in all directions at once and penetrates everything. It's a vector phenomenon, if you will. Okay. So now, speaking about that, he was focused on preserving the human race as opposed to
destroying it like every other person that we seem to see applying these technologies on a governmental scale. Now, when you bring it back to the individual scale, he was saying that, Tesla, that is, he was saying that he was getting extreme health benefits for his conditions. He had various anxiety disorders and nervous disorders just by sitting in the room with cold electricity, right? Which is basically scalar technology. So we know that, from Thomas Bearden as well, that scalar waves can actually time reverse. They move backwards through time under certain conditions. They can reverse tooth loss. They can regrow your teeth. They can reverse and regrow a limb. They can reverse physical conditions. Does it make sense? And because of these phenomena, you can either protect and regenerate, or you can destroy unequivocally, like with the most awesome power anybody's ever imagined. So what Tesla was doing when he was first researching this beam, this death beam, is he was able to send one scalar wave. It went through the earth, it passed through the earth, it passed through all physical objects, non-physical. It just went, phew. And then they would send a real electromagnetic wave around the earth's atmosphere. And the point where the two waves met up with each other, one went through and the other went around, all the way around the earth to the other side. And when they met, there's this huge catastrophic explosion. It totally decimates everything in there. It vaporizes it instantly. Okay. And the same can be said for the defense aspect. Anything that touches the defense portion or shield or mode of operation of this energy, if you will instantly be vaporized. And it's sort of the same thing with your personal health, because that's what we're going to wrap up with. Your personal health, you can either use these destructive means which are available to you, like chemo and so on and so forth, or you can use this energy that's available to you to heal your body. And so one of the biggest things is the water intake, Corey. Water has an electric charge. It is electricity, it's energy, and it's amplifier of energy, just like most things. Okay, so a practical, simple solution for anybody who's listening that wants to do this now, you can structure your water with a few magnets. They can be hematite, they could be neodymium, which are preferred. And you need a glass bottle with some water, some tape, or some sticky glue perhaps, not even that. If you've got neodymium magnets that are very tiny, you can take your glass bottle and drop a magnet in there. Take another magnet on the outside and hook it, hook the one that's inside, and just position those magnets so they're on either side of the glass, just on the side, holding each other. Now do that in a ring fashion around the glass and space them far enough to where they don't attract each other, obviously. Okay? And now you can pour water in there and maybe add some mint or some herbs that have minerals, which are ferromagnetic or ferroattractive. And the soil bacteria is also attracted to magnetics. And so what you can do is you're actually structuring your water and providing a probiotic formula that's readily available to your body, whereas normally you would be drinking chemically dead or electrically dead water that does nothing. It just passes right through you. Yes, it has some basic physical functions of rehydration, but not to the extent that cellular structured water would. Does it make sense? There's a big fad with like pH'd water and pH 9 and pH this. That's fine. You can affect the chemical properties of the water, but unless you're structuring the actual molecules themselves that are emitting the chemicals, then you're really not doing anything but changing the face, giving the barn a new coat of paint. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So by doing the simple method, and I promise listeners, I'll have, if you look on the podcast archives, there's a picture above most episodes. I will have a picture of my bottle the way I do it. It's very simple, very short, very sweet. It takes just a few materials, and you could literally be taking fresh, clean, alive water with you everywhere you go. Okay. So we'll give that online so people can review and try to recreate it themselves. Another thing is Dr. Bob Beck. He created a device which electrifies the blood with a microvoltage of DC using a 9-volt battery or 3 9-volt batteries, depending on what you're trying to do. It instantly zaps and kills all the bad parasites and viruses and bacteria. It reduces the viral load. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Now, with these types of things, he says you also have to be taking in ozonated water or oxygenated water. So not only can you structure your water, but you can oxygenate it as well. Mm. By combining those two things and the blood electrifier, someone who's extremely sick with malaria or some other type of dangerous or chronic disease or hepatitis or, you know, any of this stuff.
A bug case. Very easily. Disease.
Yeah, anything. They can reduce their viral load. They can reduce their bacterial load. They can eliminate from their body as it's coming out of their system so they don't get a detox reaction. Mm. And cure themselves with simple, practical, easy solutions. Mm. Bob Beck's electrifier can be built with less than $20 or $30 in parts from a standard Radio Shack.
Hmm.
There's no excuse for not researching it. Okay? These are two things that I use in my life extensively that have helped keep me in perfect health for the most part. Any other times that I do get sick, I'll supplement with a colloidal silver. You know, we had Aaron Ben Goins on with his colloidal silver. I always use that. It's the best. Mm-hmm. I've tried all of everybody else's stuff. It's just, it's not magnetically sound. And this is. Okay. So,
I think that we've touched everything we wanted to cover about alternative energies, and we even got a little bit into personal health and how it affects people on a economic scale to want to try these things and try to build these things and release them on an open source platform as opposed to hoarding them, right? We talked about all this stuff. I still want to get some callers in, Corey. So I would like to extend another week's show about alternative energies. I want to maybe actually discuss some articles and some diagrams and actually physically go back and forth between us while we're holding the show and provide our listeners with what we're seeing and where they can find it and actual specific websites and so on and so forth. And if they want to call in, that's fine. That's great. We can do that too. So that's what we'll be doing for next week. And then we will also, I promise that we'll continue the sex magic and the sex show, if you will. And that will be a week out from there. And we're going to have a special guest on after that. I'm going to leave that a surprise until a couple weeks' time. Okay.
Nice. Listeners,
go ahead, Corey. I'm sorry.
Yeah. How much time we have left?
I think we've got like 5 minutes. I just sort of want to break down the last part of the show and get into whatever you wanted to say since I've been running it.
Cool. What about Dr. Clark?
Hulda Clark?
Yeah.
I believe she just improvised or made better the existing technology that Bob Beck was working with. Uses a different technique as well. Her zapper is a different it's a different form than what he was mm-hmm. using.
Mm-hmm. I like the way that you segued today's topic of free energy with the health considerations. You know, it really, to me, all of this, even, you know, you can go back through all of our shows and all of our topics and what have you, and it really seems about the nature of energy.
Yeah.
The nature of energy, the nature of thought. And how those can be applied in any number of ways. And it's mind over matter. It sounds cliched. Well, exactly.
There you go. That's a great way to wrap it up though, Corey, is the energy and the thought. Because eventually you won't need to produce hydrogen, you won't need to produce electricity, you won't need to use this magnetic energy generation system. Eventually your consciousness will be all the vehicle that you need to do anything in your life. Oh, I need some water. Okay, bam, your consciousness instantly manifests water. You don't even have to drink it or put it in your mouth. It just instantly appears and rehydrates your cells. Oh, I'm hungry, right. I need some food. Bam, it's in your stomach, right?
Right.
Oh, I need to get around. Okay, well, you form a bubble around yourself that opposes the existing gravitational fields and then allows you to travel without hurting yourself inertially, meaning you can start and stop from very high speeds and make turns and stuff like that. And then voila, you're in any dimension or any realm or any physical universe that you want to be. Now you have to get to that point, mind over matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And even on a crude level, the very notion that there are alternative energy, there's work going on and have been going on for a long time. Most people, that has not entered their mind, even as a possibility. So what I'm saying is that mind over matter thing, yeah, we can, as we do on our show and in our conversations, we can take it way, way out in comparison to what is the perceived norm
and often
today and often do. But even on a more fundamental level, you know, mind, back to mind over matter, it's, you know, the mind, what are we filling our minds with? You know, that's what right. are the possibilities? What are we thinking about every day? What are we picking up in the media, for example? Right? How are we being distracted from ourselves, from our very own nature, by being blasted with, you know, massive amounts of information, relevant or otherwise?
Yeah, and that's a big part of why there aren't more people doing these things. Well, number one, it's social conditioning. Number two, they're completely distracted and unable to critically think for themselves. If the critical thinking's not there, then they can't form ideas about concepts that flow naturally, or they won't be open to them flowing in the first place. And so if you can't form an analysis critically about your concepts, then you're never going to do anything, even if you have a great idea. Average Joe Blow working at the Burger King might have a billion-dollar free energy idea, but if he can't critically think and analyze on how to make it reality or how to shift his life to such a degree or way that he's got the time to research that and make that a possibility, then it doesn't do him much good now, does it? You're right. It comes down to energy. It comes down to perception. It comes down to the mind. Because everything goes back to the energy, to the spirit, to the non-physical realms when you're talking about higher orders of efficiency. Does that make sense? Great. Mm-hmm. Wonderful show. Honestly, listeners, I'm a little jet-lagged. Thank you for putting up with that. It's been a long travel for me. However, we will continue to do this every week and bring you new esoteric and rare knowledge that you might be able to find if you did thousands of hours of research. But now that you hear it from us, we saved you the trip. Go take a look on YouTube. Keep your BS filters on. There's a lot of dingbats there that are trying to push their own stuff and are not backing up the research. We mentioned plenty of names on this podcast in this episode for you to look up that will keep you busy for a long time. We love you very much. Thanks for listening. Hey, guys, on Plague, again, a shout-out to you as well. Thanks for spreading the show around the world. We made it past the internet firewall into China. That was super cool. So I'm over in Mecca in Syria. The show is just going worldwide. So thank you so much. We really appreciate it, and we'll see you next week.
Be well.